Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Well, in the first half, I'm going to take a walk down radio memory lane. And I'm also going to break down Michelle Obama's new book. Cato Kaelin is going to join us along with Tom Zenner to talk about all things gossip and sports. First, there's Geico. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Welcome to The Inevitable. This is Motor Trend's new podcast about the future of the automobile. I am Johnny Lieberman, the senior features editor at Motor Trend, and I am joined every week by my co-host, Mr. Ed Lowe.
That's me. I'm the head of editorial for Motor Trend, and boy, do we have an amazing list of guests that we're going to be chatting with.
We've got the godfather of the environmental movement, Ed Begley Jr.
Derek Jenkins, a whole bunch of actors, celebrities, car crazy folks, people from in and outside the industry. Can't wait for you to join us.
We're talking about the future of the car. This means everything from electrified vehicles to cars that drive themselves.
Come check us out. We're on podcastone.com or anywhere else you find your favorite podcasts. We're also on motortrend.com and youtube.com/motortrend.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Jackie Fabulous, and the hosts of One Degree of Scandalous, Cato Kaelin and Tom Zenner. With Gina Grad on news and Bob Bryant on sound effects. And now, shameful self-promoter, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice. You're going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling the frame. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bob Bryant.
Shit, yeah.
So I was thinking about it when Cato Kaelin was coming in. First off, I don't know his real first name, but he was named Cato after Bruce Lee's character in The Green Hornet.
Oh.
Like the guy, sidekick. The guy went and got stuff done.
Brian Gerard Kaelin.
Well, there you are. So, Cato better.
Why from Brian? Come on.
At least he spelled it right.
So, with an I. So, we'll talk to him and Tom Zenner. We'll get caught up on some of the gossip, but also I had this thought. I was like, oh, I remember the KLSX days. I ended up going to work for KLSX a decade or so later, but KLSX was an FM talk station out here. I don't think they're doing it anymore, but they went talk FM.
And Jock Talk.
They did a lot of stunt casting. Mm-hmm. Now, normally you'd get guys like Gina's father or something in there, you know, somebody who made their bones. And there's a thing to talk radio that requires 10,000 hours of experience, but not KLSX. They want stunt casting. And so I said to the guys, I said, Cato was on KLSX. I remember that lineup in the mid-90s, but find me the lineup.
Susan Olsen, right?
Well, there was, and this is as of August 1995, so we can all think about where we were. Mm. I was in a apartment in Toluca Lake, and it was right about the time. It was kind of an interesting time because I was still poor, but there were things on the horizon, finally, you know, other than going and teaching a boxing class for $20 or putting up another dog-eared cedar fence for $15 an hour. There were, like, stuff's cooking. I'd been at K-Rock for about a year and a few months, maybe 14, 15 months. I was starting to do some syndicated spots for my character where they'd pay me $100 a bit to go down to Ventura and Sepulveda and go into that weird building, a commercial building, and lay down a bunch of stuff on the side. And in my mind, I was living in Toluca Lake, an apartment. We'd gotten booted out of our house in La Crescenta. I had still had a roommate, but I was kind of able to drive. I had bought a used Honda Civic, like hatchback. Like I was driving a car that had air conditioning and didn't have a lumber rack on it or bed box or crew cab or bench seat. Right. You know, I was like driving a car. Jimmy was like, we had stuff brewing. You know, it was an interesting time, but I still wasn't making any real money. But I was at least the money I was making, or most of it, was in showbiz, sort of quote unquote. I was getting paid $50 a bit on K-Rock to do my comedy. Like,
you're getting paid to talk.
Yeah.
The biggest transition is not getting from $200,000 a year to $1 million a year. It's getting from, I'm getting paid to teach traffic school, teach boxing classes, and swing a hammer, to I'm getting paid to do comedy, even if it's $36,000 a year.
Right.
I'm getting paid to do comedy. That was, for me, it was like, what's in the future? I was signed by William Morris, and I guess Loveline was probably not too far off syndicated radio. But
even people who don't know anything about talent agencies know William Morris. That's a big deal.
Yeah. I remember being just blown away that William Morris would come to me, and then we'd have meetings where they'd all show up at a big mahogany table and talk about my future.
Like you said about Dennis Prager, I don't want to live in a world where William Morris knows who I am.
Yes.
Of course you probably do.
Yes. And so, always dedicated to radio, listening, loved listening to talk, would listen to AM talk, but FM, there was a talk station, KLSX, and the lineup, they would have Stern in the morning, and he'd sign off about 10:30, and then Ken Ober from MTV's Remote Control.
That's right. That was one of my favorite shows. Kenny wasn't like the other kids. TV mattered. Nothing else did. Girl said yes, but he said no. Now he's got his own game show, Remote Control.
I didn't know there was a theme. Yeah, Colin Quinn.
It was awesome.
No.
Remote Control's Ken Ober and Susan Olsen from the lineup. Cindy Brady.
Yeah.
Were together. And then you'd get to the 2 o'clock hour, and that was Cato Kalin.
This has Jack Silver's fingerprints all over it.
It sure does.
2 to 4. Then the regular guys, Larry and Eric, were radio, talk radio guys.
Yeah.
They did a show. It was a good show. They knew how to do it. They're constantly getting in trouble with Jack Silver. Then Connie Church, nobody, Mother Love.
Wow.
Mother Love would come on. Hi, my little children's out there.
Like, who or what is a Mother Love?
What, Brian?
I don't actually. I've heard the name. They were in discussion.
Did she have a short-lived talk show?
It sounds like she did.
Not a TV show. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Connie Church, Chris. We can figure it out. Then comedian Carlos Oscar would come on. And I always remember listening to Carlos at night because somebody told that dude to roll calls. Because what I've learned.
Who could have done that?
What I've learned from all program directors and all TV executives, when in doubt, speed it up. Just get through it. Just go. When they don't have things to say that are constructive or meaningful, their one piece of advice is you got it. They're sort of like conditioning coach in football.
Take a lap.
Higher knees up. Those knees up faster. You know, that's it.
They're not low really, pad wins.
Yeah, they're not really talking about technique or something.
Yes, it's less about specific. Yes, I was just about to say, most football coaches are competent, but occasionally just get the guys who goes, low pad wins. It's like, all right, can we like to tell me
get
how to do that?
Those pads down. Yeah, and so Carlos would be he'd roll those calls, but the funny thing is he'd always set up the subject. Like he'd go, "Have you ever been cheated on by your best girl? Tell me that story. Did you catch that girl cheating on you?" And then the phones would light up, and people would call in and go like, "Oh man, Carlos, one time I was at work, but I went home early for lunch. And I walked in, and my best friend was on top of my girlfriend." And he'd go, Man, that's cold. All right. Have you been, cheated on? We'll take your phone calls here. And you just go right to the next one. And they'd say, I got cheated on. He'd go, man, that's some cold-blooded stuff. Then he'd go right to the next one. And I'm like, I want more backstory here. But somebody told him to pick up the pace.
Wow.
Mother love.
That lineup is a who's who of who.
That's right. And then at midnight, Vox, the rock and roll psychic, would come on.
What?
Yeah, midnight to
3.
Would
he give you your fortune in lyrics?
I don't know.
I have to know everything about Vox.
Oh,
rock and roll psychic?
Your grandfather. Yeah. Well, thank God they built a stairway to heaven.
Oh.
And
if there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alone.
That's right. And he said, hey, St. Peter, before you ring the bell, it's a song, it's a deep cut.
Wow.
Anyway, Mother Love.
Been a long time since I rock and roll.
That's right. She's the Mother Love is the original host of Forgive or Forget.
I remember
from 1982.
It.
The fuck is Forgive or Forget?
Do you guys remember? This was
do
one of those.
Do the theme song. Brian will kick in.
Forgive and forget with Mother Love. This was like, you know, you have a beef with somebody and then you can either forgive them or like stomp off the stage and forget them. Like,
it was the good part of Maury.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know, and it actually makes me feel better about my own career because I don't feel like I know what any of these people are up to these days, except for Kaylin, who will come in here.
Is Cindy Brady dead?
No.
Cindy's.
How the fuck
don't
I know?
I don't think so.
And Ken Ober, don't know what they're up to. And Mother Love. And I think the regular guys, Larry, they went to Atlanta or somewhere in Georgia, did radio there. And I'm not sure if they're still up to it. But that, and I think may have broken apart at some point. But, you know, these people are kind of seared in a way that, sitcoms don't sear like these. They become part of your collective consciousness, but they don't really get seared in. Like when I talk to people, they're like, hey, I used to listen to Loveline. I'd listen at a radio. I'd put it on my stepdad would tell me lights out, but I'd listen under the covers. And I'm always like, Hey, there you go. But I'm like, no, you got seared in. Yeah. When the guy was 15, you know, you made it in like that.
The young balding Brian.
Coach or that best girl or the first boyfriend or whatever, the smell of cut grass
that's
that
right,
makes you think
right
of football
there.
Practice,
bring
you know,
right
got,
back.
Got like, I literally, I walked out of here, an hour ago. And I turned out the fence and I smelled this like a sticky bun or something. Mm-hmm. And I was back at Walter Reed Elementary at the out front of the snack shack, like with the sticky buns coming out, like it just boom, right?
When you and
right
Ray would
back.
Shake that poor girl down for free food.
Yeah, well, you know.
She knew what she was doing.
The hotties, hotties in junior high and at the high school level and beyond. The hotties can't really be compromised, but when they got the big gals back mm-hmm. there, back behind the counter, mm-hmm. then Ray and Chris could pour on the charm.
Sure.
And they were easily mm-hmm. compromised.
I
like
get it.
Like in one of those.
They swoon. Woo!
One of those spy movies where the debonair spy, the male spy,
right.
gets hold of the housefrau. And like in True Lies or whatever with.
Julie. Oh,
yeah, the late great. God.
Heston? No, True Lies.
Bill Paxton?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the car salesman.
Yes, bringing some excitement, although Jamie Lee was caught in her underpants. But you
but
get
still,
the you get
she was,
the
she was She was, what is it, anti-adult? Frumped. She was frumped a little bit.
They frumped her up.
Some good news and bad news. Susan Olsen's still with us.
Okay.
Fabulous.
Great. Fantastic.
Ken Ober. Not so much.
No longer?
No, he died at 52 years old.
What?
In 2009. He apparently was at home in Santa Monica, and he was complaining of headaches and chest pain and flu-like symptoms. And then the coroner found that natural causes, but of like heart disease, basically. Didn't know he had.
But it's been counted as a COVID death in Los Angeles.
2009.
So the hospital
that's right.
can get paid.
Sure. That's right.
52.
Yeah, I had no idea.
I had no idea either. But that show, Remote Control, was a phenom. It was
awesome.
A hot show. Everyone would watch it. It was
that was
I don't
the
know.
One with the recliners.
Yeah, and then you get pushed back into the wall if you get it wrong. Colin Quinn, like Barry Sobel.
And Sandler on the early version?
Might have been Sandler. They were sort of interchangeable at the time.
And what's her name? The hottie
Martha
chick.
Martha Quinn?
No.
Oh, I know exactly who you're
talking
gonna
about. You're going to figure her out,
Karen
too.
Karen Duffy?
No, I can picture her.
No, it's you no, go, oh, yeah, MTV. MTV used to be littered with hot chicks.
Yes.
Julie Brown, Bobby
no,
Brown?
No,
randomly. No, you're gonna know her. Anyway, that was that. So
Dennis Leary was on it.
We'll bring in Cato Kaelin at some point. I'll just ask him, how was Jack Silver like heavily involved with this? Because I think I spoke to Jack. It was our own program director at when I was at KLSX.
Sorry. Kari Wurrer.
Yeah. And it was, he think he disavowed himself of that era, but I don't know how. I think he said something like, it was before my time or something. Like, I don't know, like presidents do with bad economies or something. Like, I inherited
I thought
mother love.
Jack Silver and Tom Likas came up with KLSX.
I don't know.
Well, Likas is not represented on that line.
Not on this list.
Interesting.
Kari Wurrer or something.
What a name.
But anyway, real hottie.
Yes.
MTV had a bunch of hot chicks on it.
Oh, yeah.
They knew where their bread was buttered.
Don't forget Jenny McCarthy.
Jenny McCarthy, yeah.
Oh, they had a litany of hot chicks. Duff, my God.
Oh, Duff is cute, yeah.
And, God, who was the blonde, like, Swedish chick with the short hair, like Shoal or something?
There was a Serena Altschul.
Yes,
she was a hottie. Yeah. All right. Now, according to my math, I can bang a lot of them now.
Oh, right.
Because you know how it works.
Yeah, up and down.
I didn't stand a chance in 1994, but now?
Open season.
According to the laws and the bylaws. So,
better hurry or something.
Talk to Kaelin about that. Right. On another subject, I was hearing that Michelle Obama's coming out with another book. Oh. My God, they must have backed the Brinks truck up because her last book sold 17 million units. So when it comes time
to
renegotiate, those are some big ass numbers.
Holy shit.
And I was listening and they're like, here's what the new book's going to be about. The last one was called Becoming. And this one is called Michelle Obama, The Light We Carry. Oh. And
inspirational.
Platitudinal.
I've thought many, many times. I've wondered and worried out loud. We're in some weird sort of talk phase of our country. You know, our country was like, got to beat those British soldiers. And then it was like, we got to win a civil war. And then it's like, we got to win World War II, or we got to push the Indians off onto land that they don't want to live on.
You should be a history teacher.
Eat their buffalo. And then we got to win World War I. Then we got to win World War II. And then it's like, someone's got to build a bridge between Brooklyn and Manhattan. And it was a lot of, and there was a lot of like, let's see if we can fly from, St. Louis to France and without refueling or without stopping on a seaplane or whatever. It's like, we'll get to the moon. We did all that.
Yeah, it's done.
Now we're entering the talking phase of our, where we're going to sit down and we're going to have discussions about everything. And we're going to have a seat at the table. Everyone needs a seat at the table. Or there could be the table, the breakfast table that we sit and talk about real issues about the price of gas. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where this table is. I didn't have one in my house. We didn't have those kind of discussions. But it's now getting a seat at the table and talking. And I've always kind of went, I don't feel that that's that satisfying to me. I would like to talk about building the bridge or solving the homeless problem or the high-speed rail that goes to Vegas. And then let's get to building.
The talking about should be the shortest part of the whole experience.
Right, but we're now, and it's, you know, got to do with air conditioning and everyone's got a phone with all the info on it and a car. Cars don't break down anymore. They just kind of run. And we're just kind of like, I'll pay with my Apple Pay. And we're entering the talk phase.
Everything's intangible.
And it's very attractive to many, many people in this society.
I'm reminded of something you used to say occasionally. I'm not making any great connection here. I'll leave that to you. But you used to talk about the guy or girl. We all know this archetype, especially in L.A. Always talked about the screenplay they were working on. Always talked about I got another pitch meeting with Buzz. Like, always talked about what was
in the future
going to happen or was in development.
It's right.
Like, it's like, yes, these things need to happen, but eventually you need to, you know, the more you've been talking about the book you're writing or whatever, you could have been done with it by now.
What is possibly satiating for half the country is frustrating and infuriating for the half that wants to build shit.
It's definitely satiating. I would say it's more than half.
But that's what I don't understand.
We've been like having an honest discussion about the homeless problem in L.A. for 13 years. Nothing has been fixed.
But for the person inside of it that is being satiated, I'm generally pretty good at like putting myself in somebody else's shoes, but I'm not getting it because the more I talk about it, the more I would feel stressed out and ashamed. And how do I deliver? How do I deliver?
But do we have an ever increasing world of sort of broken people that are trying to heal themselves and connect something, and they want some healing in my life, versus like Europe on $14 a day, or how to build a hummingbird feeder. You know, like it used to be a lot of like how to, like here's what you're going to do now. Sit down. Here's how you feel.
I got a perfect example.
And here's why your feelings are justified.
Absolutely. I have the perfect example. I was listening to a news podcast before I came here about inflation and how they don't want to scare people about inflation because it might be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. You know, like the more you are scared, the more you pull back and you're going to create the inflation.
The only thing to fear is.
Exactly. So the guy asked the expert to break it down. And this is an economic podcast about inflation. And she wanted to give a universal example that everyone could understand about the economy and inflation. She goes, well, let me talk about something that we can all relate to. Let's say say the economy is your therapist.
Oh, boy.
And you just got dumped and you're feeling brokenhearted and you say, I'm never leaving my apartment again. You know, we've all been there. And the therapist says, no, don't do that because then you'll never find love. And I was like, this is an economy podcast? Yeah.
I know. It usually involves eggs or gas or mortgage rates.
A carton of milk.
Yeah.
It was so weird that this was her universal example that we could all understand.
And so obviously this doesn't take long to bleed into politics. And thus, you know, we have Gavin Newsom talking about come to California where you're free to love and free to live without hate. You know, there's weird kind of platitudes about living without hate. I don't know what it means.
He's not been rolled on the street.
Congress is like the early adopter example of let's just talk and talk and talk and never actually do anything.
So I told Dawson and Chris went and ran it down, but what Michelle Obama's next book is about, and here's what it's going to be about.
In an inspiring follow-up to her critically acclaimed number one best-selling memoir, Becoming, former First Lady Michelle Obama shares practical wisdom and powerful strategies.
He's moved.
He's getting choked up.
Yeah.
For staying hopeful and balanced in today's highly uncertain world.
That's nice.
There may be no tidy solutions or pithy answers to life's big challenges, but Michelle Obama believes that we can all locate and lean on a set of tools to help us better navigate change and remain steady within flux. In The Light We Carry, she opens a frank and honest dialogue with readers.
Frank and honest.
Considering the questions many of us wrestle with, how do we build enduring and honest relationships? How can we discover strength and community inside our differences? Mm. What tools do we use to address feelings of self-doubt or helpfulness? What do we do when it all starts to feel like too much? Michelle Obama offers readers a series of fresh stories and insightful reflections on change, challenge, and power, including her belief that when we light up for others, we can illuminate the richness and potential of the world around us, discovering deeper truths and new pathways for progress. Drawing from her experiences as a mother, daughter, spouse, friend, and First Lady, she shares the habits and principles she has developed to successfully adapt to change and overcome various obstacles, the earned wisdom that helps her continue to become. She details her most valuable practices like starting kind, going high,
It's all
and assembling a weird kitchen table.
Oh, well, wait, saying and thinking everything is racist, right? Is she that in there
the
somewhere? Like
shop?
The time she got yogurt and someone cut in front of her in line because she was black and invisible?
With trademark humor, candor, and compassion, she
By
also
the way,
explores.
On my pecking order of taking cuts in line, I got black women close to the bottom of people I'm cutting in front of. I go elderly Asian women.
Fool me once.
Yeah, long before.
Yeah.
I get in front of cut in front of black women in yogurt shops.
Is she known for her trademark humor?
I was going to say, Michelle Obama's a lot of things. I think it's hilarious.
I do not know. It's just this weird gobbledygook of finding your truth and then
shining
your light. And by the way, this concept of once I shine my light, then the world around me will snap into order. Like, yeah, once I say rinse out a coffee mug, then everyone's going to rinse out a coffee. No, or it'll be a 10-year slog where you argue with everyone. Like, I'm not so sure about the shining the light part.
Mm.
I don't know.
Think she means shining a light on coffee mugs. I think she means your inner light of happiness and positivity.
Oh, yeah. So she'd be talking about like cereal bowls and other things like that?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Other containers.
You got it. It just took another
And when
step.
I start living my truth, yeah. Like it's a weird – I'm a mechanical guy, so it feels very weird to me. But like it feels like just a weird morass of just sort of words about – truth. I mean, maybe we blame Oprah for starting this, but
you need to parody your next book cover off this.
Oh yeah, she's in a big cozy
sweater
hugging herself. That would be awesome if you did that.
I'm sorry, Dawson, you have any more there?
With trademark humor.
There's more?
Candor and compassion. She also explores issues connected to race, gender, and visibility.
Oh, yeah, like at the yogurt shop right. When she was invisible.
Encouraging readers to work through fear, find strength in community, and live with boldness.
Where's the fear? I feel like fear wasn't brought up much when I was younger, other than like jump off that roof into the swimming pool. I don't know. What are you, pussy? That was about, yeah. That's about our relationship about far with fear. Now we're living in fear, fear of others. I love the fear of those who look different than you, which is, again, most of the people you seem to come across these days. So it'd be a tough way to get through life.
Yeah.
You're running serpentine to your car because. What's that guy doing across the street with that leaf blower? He looks different. Yeah, living in L.A., that's a tough putt.
There's a lot less to be fearful about these days. Cars are safer.
Yeah.
Airplanes.
Yeah.
Everything's safer.
I agree, but in order
to... So we got
to
create something.
We got to shine that light. She's got to... Here's my point. She's going to sell 20 million units. Who's she selling this to, and then what goes on? I know it's all Yentas, but why? What? Why does this feel satisfying?
I know what everyone's getting for Christmas.
I used your spurtle yesterday.
Oh, sweet. What did you spurtle?
There was short ribs and a crock pot, and I spurtled the shit out of them.
Good for you.
That's right.
Well done.
All right, Dawson, is she done telling us what we're going to get out of this?
When we are able to recognize our own light, we become empowered to use it, writes Michelle Obama.
So we got to realize what our light is so we can shine it on others. But I'm just doing the math. Like if everyone finds their own light and is sharing it with others...
Then nobody's special.
Yeah, then what do we got here? I'm getting back to my Wow Wow Lovesy problem. We can't... all be the greatest.
The best,
the best.
A rewarding blend of powerful stories and profound advice that will ignite conversation. The light we carry inspires readers to examine their own lives, identify their sources of gladness, and connect meaningfully in a turbulent world.
It sounds nice.
Yes.
I can't exactly. If somebody said, so explain what she's doing. I don't know. But it made me feel warm and fuzzy hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the light is. What is the light?
It's within you, and you got to discover it.
But what does it mean? Like, what am I actually looking for?
We all have a light.
You got to look inward.
Like instant on lighting.
You know
with the light
who you know, needs to blame? You know who I need to blame?
Who?
All the kooks when they started with the toxins.
No. Oh.
Because it's like, if you get a massage, you got to hydrate. Because when the massage releases the toxins.
You got to flush out the toxins.
So they've got the toxins. Your car radiator.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, every couple of years you got to flush it out. Why? Because a bunch of stuff builds up in it, and then the motor starts to slow down. You know what I mean? And it affects the performance of the car. So you got
to
flush those toxins. That's why you need a cleanse. The cleanse gets the toxins out.
Like one of those butt cleanses?
Like I'm telling you, my cayenne pepper and cucumber juice.
Oh, right, with the maple syrup and the lemonade.
Flushes the toxins out.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
So I could be living, I could 10X my life
by
tomorrow.
They build up. Sometimes the alarm goes off in the morning, right, Gina?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you feel like you don't want to get out of bed, right?
Oh, boy, and how.
Toxins. You flush them.
I thought I was just tired because I'm sleeping.
No, the toxins surround the light. The light.
Oh, they prevent the light from shining through?
How could you shine a light
dim
through the toxin? It's a toxic duvetine curtain that stops your light, which you don't even realize.
No, I haven't found it.
Well, everyone has a light, and everyone has toxins.
Okay.
So you got to flush the toxins, you get to the light, then you read the book, and then Michelle Obama will tell you how to harness the light.
And just to be
And then
clear,
once your light goes out...
goes forth.
You ever see Batman?
Yeah, I love Batman.
Okay, you know when they signal Batman
the
with the commissioner?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
right.
I see.
So you know the Batmobile?
Yeah.
It's got a radiator. Toxins build up. You need to flush it out. That's why you need cucumbers.
Cayenne pepper.
And cayenne pepper and...
maple syrup
maple,
and lemon.
Yeah, you need maple syrup. You know how Canadians are all free of
so
toxins?
Much shinier.
Yeah. You need that, and then you drink several liters of that a day.
And only that.
Yeah, because you're on a cleanse.
Right.
You cleanse the toxins, then the light comes out.
You know, you see E.T.'s light shining through his chest.
Okay, that's, I was just wondering.
No toxins.
Right.
I see. And then so it's an actual light.
Once the light comes out, then those around you, let's say you're driving, let's say you're the engineer on a train at night.
Yeah.
A moonless night.
Oh.
And the light was out.
Oh, God. Oh, I'd be terrified.
And there's a family on the train. Well, what would happen?
Go on.
It'd be horror.
Right, they what if you had that million candle power light just beaming your beam of truth down the track?
Then I could see them and not kill them.
Right. And so what the train has an engine, and that engine has a radiator. And the radiator gets filled with toxins. And so you have to flush
it out.
The
train engine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So this will literally prevent me from killing a family.
You do the cleanse, and then Michelle's going to tell you how to find the light. And then the light goes out, and then it illuminates those around
you. And
you
can all bathe in my light.
No, because I got my own light.
Oh, okay. Mm.
And it's lighter, brighter than yours?
It's better than mine?
You said better. I said brighter.
Oh.
I mean, there's alliteration there, but that's...
pretty close.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the same letters.
Yeah. Anyway, that's
Thank
how you do it.
Thank you for explaining it.
Okay?
Ooh. Did you ghostwrite this? There's a lot of radiator talk in this book.
But again, it'll be good for 20 million units, but I just don't. I get books about, you know, finances and shit like that, or even, you know, how to train your dog or something. Yeah. And then there's spy novels you read on the beach. These I don't get.
It's
but they
be some
are
sort of
popular.
A spiritual how-to that never really gives you the answer.
It's a self-help book, ultimately.
But we're out of problems is basically what I'm getting at. All right. Well, if you would like to get a little fitter and not have to deal with the flush and the cleanse and the toxins, might I suggest FitBod? Enjoying the summer? Well, R&R doesn't mean we're going to undo the fitness progress. FitBod's smart workout app that gives you custom-tailored workouts to keep the momentum all summer long. Smart tech replaced old formats for that for a reason, like Waze versus a printed directions. Well, that's what this is, and that's how you'll feel with FitBod. You'll never go back to whatever it is you are currently doing. FitBod's algorithm uses data and analytics to build your best and next workout for maximum results. So you may not be doing the same thing every day. Mix it up. Variety. Spice of life. This is a great app. I use it. It really mixes things up and keeps you kind of from getting bored. Integrates with Apple Watch. You can Wear OS smartwatch and apps like Apple Health. Fitbit. And you get a year of personalized workouts for less than one personal training session. It is FitBod, right, Dawson?
Crush your summer fitness goals with personalized workouts from FitBod that improve as you do. Get 25% off your subscription or try out the app for free when you sign up now at fitbod.me/Corolla. That's 25% off your subscription or try it free at fitbod.me/Corolla.
All right. Cato and Tom are going to come in here and talk a little gossip, but like I said, we'll get back to those old Kayla sex days as well. Maybe a little OJ talk right after this. You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Adam Carolla's sixth book and audiobook. Everything reminds me of something. Advice, answers, but no apologies. Dear Adam, should you answer, and if so, how, your wife if she says, if I ever agreed to a threesome, which one of my friends would you choose? Ray Romano.
She's got you painted into a corner. This is the wife's version of the cop asking, have you been drinking tonight? There's no acceptable response. A cop is not going to believe, I just had a beer after work. In the same way, your wife is not going to believe, no, honey, I only have eyes for you. Try to avoid the question. But if she insists, then you have to answer, I'm not going to tell you which of your friends I'd like to have a threesome with. That's just going to get me in trouble. So I'll tell you the one I wouldn't want to have a threesome with. Cynthia. She gives horrible head.
Everything reminds me of something. Available now, wherever finer books are sold.
There you go. Audiobook's coming out in a few days, I think.
Now, that's advice you can actually use.
Yes, to the great Ray Romano. Cato Kaelin, Tom Zenner here. The podcast, One Degree of Scandalous, and you can find it wherever you listen to finer podcasts. Good to see you guys.
Pleasure, Adam. Thanks for having us.
Great so to be here. We got much to get into, but first, unfinished business of the old KLSX days that we were talking about at the top of the show.
Flagship show, baby. That was with
me.
That was
you.
That was the flagship show.
Two to four. Who was Jack Silver there during that era?
Yeah, I think so. I dealt with Rob Moore. Remember Rob
Moore? Oh,
yeah.
So Rob Moore was my boss, but Jack Silver, I think, was above that. But Jack, I many times went to his house, had parties. Rob used to throw great parties. And I remember because it was the time I had no shot. Every day there was a fax coming in like, he should be killed. Someone should kill Cato. They hired security for me. They had walked me back and forth to my car. I had and all because Howard Stern kept saying, get this piece of shit off the air until I did Howard's show. And I did it four times. And then Howard invited me to dinner at his house. And Howard invited me to private parts, a screening to sit with him. And it was like different meeting in person. I said, see, you don't want me dead. It's not like talk radio, you know.
God, it feels like a million lifetimes away, right? Just weird what we talked about as a nation on the radio subjects. It seemed in a weird way so innocent and naive.
Completely. My stuff was just, you know, if a Martian landed, what would you feed him? It was not really hard hitting, but it was the best part was reading the facts that came in. I'm not kidding you. People hated my guts, and I'm not used to it. I was this guy from Wisconsin now, you know, prom king and quarterback, and I was like, oh, everybody loves me. Oh, no, everybody hated me. But it was, the unfortunate thing is I got I got paid pretty well. I got a convertible BMW, which was the worst thing to do because the top was down. People could approach me. And I just remember people coming up and spitting on me. And I'm like, honest to God, and a guy grabbing me. I'm like, Jesus, what's going on here? So I got rid of the car.
They, it's funny. Molly Ringwald, the whole Ringwald family grew up down the street from me in North Hollywood. And Molly Ringwald was the little baby red-haired sister and nobody, nothing. And she had a couple of friends, and they all had these, like, customized vanity plates that say L.A. Tim or L.A. whatever. Mm. Well, her first car, she had said, like, L.A. Molly on it or whatever. and then she blew up.
Oh, bad idea. Yeah.
And so now she's driving around with a car with her name on
Angeline.
And people are just following her all through the city. So don't get a convertible when you're Kato
and
Kaelin.
And if it says Ellie Molly nowadays, it's not about that.
Yeah, we're talking about drugs.
They're going to come up to you for the drugs. And
so, Tom, you... where do you fit into this whole
good
puzzle?
Question. You know, Adam and Kato and I go back a few years, and I've always, my background is television and media. I'm a writer. I was a sports anchor. Kind of been lucky, been in the right place at the right time. I was, if you watch The Last Dance, I was in the middle of all that because I was a sports anchor at NBC in Chicago. Interviewed Michael every day, did a show with Dennis Rodman. So I was always on the TV path, but a writer. I wrote for Maxim magazine. I used to write some crazy stories for Maxim. Like I did this one called Sports Jerks on Trial, where we took the people that were perceived to be the biggest jerks, Don King, Ryan Leaf, Kevin Brown, remember him with the Dodgers, and then I interviewed them, and then we rendered a verdict. The coolest was Ryan Leaf. I mean, he could not have been cooler back then, but Kevin Brown made me drive, speaking of Milwaukee, from Minneapolis to Milwaukee to interview him, and then he refused to do the interview with me. So he was guilty. But I, you know, I've just kind of been involved in a lot of entrepreneurial media endeavors. And Kato, I always knew, had one more really big thing in him. And I thought it was a podcast. Mm-hmm. And I have this One Degree brand, One Degree of Glamorous, One Degree of Disastrous, these types of things, but One Degree of Scandalous. You get the guy who was involved in the biggest scandal ever. So everybody will be comfortable talking to us. And that's been the case so far. We can talk to anybody because of Kato. You know, he's so much fun. Everybody knows who he is. It's an instant door opener.
Does everyone kind of remember where they were during the low-speed chase and all that?
Overland Park, Kansas.
Oh, yeah. You were back,
I was in the
home.
Area.
Yeah.
Christy, my wife, grew up in Westwood, and she was over on an overpass right under over the actual chase.
People were running out into the streets with signs. Mm-hmm. By the way, I want all those people arrested. I don't care if OJ goes free. I want all the people are running out with cardboard signs. Yeah. Go, OJ. Go,
Kato,
Juice.
Kato and I were laughing. Where do people get the time to make those signs real quickly?
They could have them pre-made.
OJ's going to kill. We're going to make a sign now.
Kato,
there's signs like records.
I'm saying, now listen to me. Norman Lear celebrated his 100th birthday.
Indeed.
I'm sure there's an obit that is pre-made.
Of course.
That's fair. Difference, right? Okay, it's the same thing.
I'm with you.
It's exactly the same.
Marcus Allen, Walter Payton, Jim Brown, come on.
All men of color, Brian. Interesting.
Coincidence.
No John Riggins in there? Come on, round it out. So,
Mike Allstott.
I was at the courthouse when the verdict came in.
Oh, boy.
K-Rock sent me there to go do it, and it was fucking pandemonium, and it was crazy. The most disturbing part were people like falling to their knees going, thank you, Lord. Our prayers
split
like,
screen.
Really? This is a lot to build a dream on.
Yeah.
But so for you, you actually got out. You were in the trial. You were deposed and everything else,
right?
Yeah,
the thing was that during the whole testimony that I had, it was I was down there actually for like 3 weeks because I'm on hold. But honestly, they put me in a room about three times smaller than this. It was a closet. No air conditioning. It was just there waiting for my name to be called. And I was sequestered. I didn't know anything that's going on, any of the testimony that's going on. So I kept waiting my turn. And then I finally was called, came out of the closet. Not that way, but L.A. Molly. So I came out of the closet to testify, and I was there for 6 days, six and a half.
Was just to refresh our mind and everyone else's, you were staying in the guest house.
Amber Heard took a shit in my bed, right?
The O.J. at the Manor. O.J. was, I don't know, messing around with a golf club or something when the driver pulled up. But there was all this discussion about him going around the yard and dropping a glove and all that. And in your testimony was you didn't hear something or you did hear something?
No, the testimony, the room that I had no windows. It was a wall. And I'm talking to this girl on the phone deciding if she's going to come over or I'm going to go over there. So I said, hey, did we just have an earthquake? Because this picture moved in my room. And she goes, no. I said, oh, my picture moved in the room. It just kind of tilted. And I said, oh. And that was it. And then I kept hearing it was a separate from his house, but I could hear this ring. And it normally means someone's out in front. So I just came out and I saw that there was a limo and that was it. Then I saw luggage outside, luggage in the front of the house, and then I saw one bag by the Bentley. So I didn't think anything of it. And then OJ appeared. I don't know where he just appeared. And then the limo driver, I start loading stuff, and I said, oh, I'll get that bag. So I run there. He goes, no, don't touch it. Mm. And that's the bag that no one ever found.
Yeah, so that's
the Louis Vuitton.
The one Kardashian dropped off at his house, and then it just kind of disappeared, which is sort of damning evidence, but I don't know what...
You know, what's funny is that Tom and I just had Detective Tom Lang on. He's the lead detective, and he was just on our show. It's honestly, and I'm not saying it's to promote our One Degree of Scandalous, but it's fascinating that 500 things that he had as evidence was thrown out. It's honestly, it'll blow you away when you hear all the stuff that they had, because we didn't know. I hadn't seen him for 28 years. And it's amazing what the prosecution would not take in. And they never found that bag. And he talked about all the other blood. He talked about, you know, the whole thing. When I said something behind my guest house, that was the bloody glove that became. I said, oh, it's probably nothing, but I thought we had an earthquake. So they found the glove.
Yeah, it was such a crazy time. And OJ tried to flee, which is like another one of those.
Right? Indeed.
Yeah, I mean, if I get pulled over and a cop says, could you pop the trunk? And I go, yeah. And then I just start running toward Mexico. Maybe there's something in the trunk.
It's suspicious.
Oh, well, the trunk was the beard, the gun, $10,000 in cash.
Oh, yeah.
All this stuff. It's like he's not Michael Jackson. He's got all these disguises. And, you know, he said he's going to go to the cemetery. It's like, come on.
Mm. What you have – when's the last time you spoke to OJ?
It was in the deposition for the second trial. He had a civil trial also that he lost. And, you know, I guess with the interest now, it's at $96 million that the Goldmans are never going to probably collect, but unfortunately. And I was peeing in the men's room during the deposition, and I was just peeing, and he walked in. I honestly, the pee stopped immediately, and he goes, hey, what up, Cato? I didn't want to talk to him or anything, and I just finished peeing. Hey, because I'm – you know, I already deposing and saying, you know, negative or truthful things that were negative to him.
How did the whole relationship begin in the first place?
Well, I'm going to tell you a story, I think, first, and then I think you'll dig it. I'm golfing at Brookside in Pasadena with Norm MacDonald. Norm and I used to hang out a lot.
Sure.
And Norm and I used to golf all the time. And I taught him how to play basketball, basically, which he was awful at until a year later. So we're golfing. And the woman that I'm dating at the time was with Lojo, who I'm sure you know. Lojo. Lojo is his manager.
Yes,
the woman
he's
always with. So we're all, Norm and I are just golfing. So they come on the golf cart, and the girl I'm dating goes, oh, Jason, in the clubhouse. And he's hitting on me. And I'm not kidding. I'm going, I totally get it, because it was his probably kind of look. And I said, I said, Norm, I don't want to go in the clothes. Just stay out here. He goes, oh, he's too behind you now, two foursomes behind us. But anyways, that was, so I never did see him, but he was at Brookside, and I had the goosebumps going, last thing I want to see. He's probably looking for the killers. But how it happened was that I was in a casting business. I had a casting business with Grant Kramer. He was a heartthrob. He was in Attack of the Killer Clowns. He was on General Hospital. Really good looking guy. So he and I had a casting business. And when Nicole was divorced, they saw each other on the circuit, this celebrity ski circuit with Hawaiian Tropic. So in Aspen, Grant and I took a vacation for our success that we had. He goes, everybody comes to Aspen for New Year's Eve. Went to Aspen. So we're at Aspen. They lock eyes. So I'm the third wheel on the entire trip. They're just laughing, going out all the time.
Nicole and your partner.
Nicole and Grant are just kind of hitting it off. They're friends from before, so they hit it off.
Pictures of her. She was strikingly beautiful.
Yeah. So I was the third wheel, but it gets even better. So I'm the third wheel, and I'm at all these events, and there's a show called Dynasty that was on at the time.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
So Dynasty was on. I'm making this woman laugh who I recognize. It's Catherine Oxenberg. And
yes.
So she and I hit it off, and we dated for three and a half months.
Wow.
Little known fact, the princess of, I think, Lithuania. And the K-train.
And wasn't her daughter, I just wanted to...
India.
That's exactly.
I met her when she was just a baby.
Well, she was still with Catherine and not with the Nexium. people.
Yeah. So that
another
was,
scandal.
She was just a just born. I forget who the father was, but she's like 1 year old. It could have been.
Oh, Jack Silver sent me a text, said roll calls.
Boxes of briefs.
Could have been me.
Yeah. So, wow, what a wild, bizarre odd. But wait, how do you get to the guest house?
Oh,
still?
So now I become friends with Nicole, very good friends with Nicole. And Nicole, I was living in Hermosa Beach, and I'd be driving that awful drive to L.A. every single day, 2 hours. And then when I would work on a movie set, I'd work till 4 a.m. and drive. It was honestly, it was extremely tough for me to go back and forth. So Nicole had a few parties at her house. I said, hey, who lives in your guest house on Gretna Green? So she had this beautiful house there. She goes, oh, I'll rent it to you. So we made a deal. I rented it for 6.5 months. Then she moved to Bundy, asked me to move into Bundy. But I said, well, there's no guest house there. And I didn't feel right. And then her and OJ started dating again. And OJ already kind of liked me. And the kids adored me. They even named the dog Cato. So OJ goes, until you find a place, you can move into my bungalows. And that was the start. He had 4 bungalows. And it was an incredible pad.
Wow.
Is the
house torn down now?
The house is torn down. The good news is I still have the guest house key. I offered to Larry King. He didn't want it. The late Larry King. But I do have it in my pocket. I keep it on the KJ.
I had a morbid thought, but...
No, go ahead.
I was watching TMZ last night, I think, and I think Buzz Aldrin's windbreaker that he took to outer space sold for like $2.7 million. Wow. If they ever found that murder weapon,
could you imagine?
What the hell would that fetch at some sort of bizarre auction?
Yeah, and you know, they remember how many times people said they had the knife?
Yeah.
So many people said they had it, the blood, they found it in a garbage can, but nothing, it wasn't ever the actual knife.
Back to my wife, she went to high school in L.A. with the Kardashians. She was classmates with the oldest one, Courtney, I think. Anyway, there was apocryphal, I'm sure, but the story of the rumor amongst the girls at the high school was always, Courtney's got the glove or the one, the knife, the whatever in her, in the closet, you know, in a box in the closet. It's just, you know, legend. It kept going.
Well, if ratings go down for their show, they can always they need a little bump. I have a funny addendum to Cato's story. I've never even told Cato this. The last time I saw O.J., the weekend he got arrested in Vegas.
Oh, really?
We were out there. My friend who used to work for Extra was out there all the time. So he was always at the Palms. Mm-hmm. So we were out there hanging out, having a great time. OJ was filming. He was trying to self-film a reality show. So he had a film crew following him around. And he's coming into our suite, he was kind of obnoxious. It was very bizarre. This was the Friday. And then the next night he got busted.
It was like, you got juiced or something?
Something like that. I can't remember. But he had a little film crew behind him. And it was really kind of sad, to be honest with you.
He dressed as a clown selling a car.
Yes, because one of the pranks was selling his Forerunner from the
My friend Tom Mabe, who's probably one of the best pranksters, the grandfather pranks, was supposed to be involved in that show. So I remember that all going on. He's dressed as a clown, then he takes off the clown.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing a version of Punked or something.
Yeah, yes, you got juiced. Yeah, good call, Ryan.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So any doubt he did it in your mind?
No, I said on so many shows, I think he's 100% guilty, my opinion. And but I knew... At the first trial, I knew immediately he's going to get off because, honestly, when I was testifying for those days, every day that I was sitting there, they'd bring the jury in, and the jury would wave, and he'd wave back. It was comical. It was like, hey, he's like, hi.
You know, Mark Garagos always said they lost that trial when they moved it to Los Angeles. Oh, yeah. They should have kept the civil was in Santa Monica, where he probably would not stand a chance. And now they moved to Los Angeles. And some of the jurors, or at least one of them, an older woman of color, was like, look, I ain't guilty, not guilty. I didn't care. It was payback for all the white guys that killed black women or something like that. It's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. She's just saying it into a microphone while she's being filmed, which is weird.
And a juror.
And we're kind of like, yeah, well, she got her opinion.
That was part of that 7.5-hour documentary. That was like in the last episode.
Oh, it's the split screen showing the how white people reacted and the black people reacted. It was totally different. It was just like put LA back about 50 years or something.
Oh, my God.
It was a terrible time.
We're also talking off the air about a mixed martial arts kind of fight league thing that you've gotten yourself involved with that sounds intriguing to me, but I don't know how it works.
I would love to. first of all, explaining it does not give it as much as seeing one of the clips. So we have ex-NHL players, and we did the first one in Edmonton.
Ex-NHL guys, yeah. So hockey players.
Yeah, and whoa! They go full gear.
Dispense with the hockey. That's just fighting.
Yep. It's really awesome. Incredible. So someone
that's
becomes
amazing.
King of the rink.
It's now, a hockey fight.
Literally.
On skates. Hockey.
We have 14. 14, and we're at a casino. We sell out. So we tried it for the first time, and it went ballistic. Balls out. People from, you probably know Barstool Sports, love
yeah.
it. Pat McAfee is probably he's their best PR for it. For a month, that's all he talked about.
You're doing with hockey what they figured out with porn, which is let's just skip past the yeah. part where the delivery yeah. guy shows up and she's
chase.
In a negligee. Let's just go
yeah.
right.
This is yeah,
go right to the fighting.
And there is some hitting in the nuts. So it is like porn. So we have a king of the rink. He gets crowned. Makes some cash. So now it's just we up the ante, a lot more money, and we have sponsorships. So we have 14 fights and preliminaries. You do the weigh-ins. We do it very MMA style. So the creator's name is Charlie Nama. He played hockey. The guy just came up with this idea. He's been my friend for 20 years. I said, this is brilliant. It's a 10-second pitch. You get it. And you go in and you say this. So we're with Fight TV. You order on Fight TV. Our next one's August 6th, River Creek Casino. It's at 6 p.m. So we do the weigh-in. I'll be one of the announcers. We have Chris Therrien, who was 12 years with the Philadelphia Flyers as the announcer. He's the announcer for the Flyers. Like I said, we have everything's lined up just perfectly. And people go
crazy.
They love it.
It's all
they love
dudes.
It. And it's an art to be on skates and
yeah.
fighting. It really is. It's an art form. And so most of the guys are ex kind of the enforcers yeah. when they play the league, they already know how to fight. Mm. But most of them now are going to boxing classes, MMA. But they had them. Trust me, it's high energy and the crowd goes nuts. You cannot not love it. It's great. And I'm against violence, but I love this.
Well, and you know, I often use a little markers and indicators of where we're at as a society.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was bringing up the Boyle Heights Bridge, which had to be closed down because people were doing donuts in the middle of that.
Yeah.
And I think we've gotten there with sports now. This is an indicator.
Well, you're guaranteed to see the good part.
they close it down. They're putting up speed bumps now.
Yes.
You look at what's going on. When did it all of a sudden get too crazy? When did it just happen?
I'll tell you when.
OJ trial.
Some dick said you can't judge in 1999, and they just went, you cannot judge. You don't judge me. You can't judge. And I went, are you fucking nuts? All I do is judge. That's my
yeah.
deal. And they're like, no more judging. And it's like, all right, well, then we'll do donuts on the bridge and every nutty cunt's bringing her dog to the airport. So enjoy, everyone. And the nutty cunt at the airport's going to be wearing pajama bottoms and slippers at LAX. So
I remember I did punt, pass, and kick. That's not even around anymore back in the day.
Oh,
I did that.
God.
I won. I got to the finals. It was like, wow, this is not, there's nothing like that anymore. Nobody can compete. There's no first place, second place. It's a weakness of America now.
Yeah.
I'm getting political.
Yeah, you're right, and we're coming undone. I would reckon that just beer concessions at the King of the Rink is got to be through the fucking roof. I mean, in terms of groups that drink, I would say
just
per capita versus like the crowd in Wimbledon, mint julep or two. But I mean, more beer consumed.
It's Canada. It's got to be an IV of Molson.
Right.
It's totally nuts. And the first one we had was May 21st this past 2022.
For people listening, it's a 30-foot, 25-foot by 25-foot sort of rink.
It's an
ice octagon.
Guys in hockey attire and having it out.
Please tell me you call it the hoctagon.
But I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. No,
with
it's
gloves.
Ice is war on Instagram. We call it Ice Wars. Ice is war on Instagram, and it's
great.
It's... It's, and you know what? It gets your frustration out. And they, like I said, yes, people are drinking. It's a whole drink fest for the entire time we're there.
That's
but
awesome.
May 21st, it was our first one, and it was very successful. But I couldn't go because I got married.
Mazel
I got
tov.
Married. Thank you. Thank you. Mazel tov, because it was at David Zucker's house. The David Zucker put it up at his house, the airplane, Naked Gun.
Oh,
the,
I love that guy.
Yeah, he's, yeah. And as a matter of fact, during my toast, which David loved, I was just saying, David, thanks for giving up a free house. It's expensive. And I especially thank you for not inviting Nordberg. So
I was going to ask if there was a connection there.
Yeah, so he put me in basketball. But David's a Milwaukee guy, so we have a very strong – anybody from Wisconsin, you normally gravitate to where you're from and you become friends with.
Well, probably have time for like one story, one scandalous what's going on out there.
Gosh, we had some good ones.
Story.
Yeah, you know, the OJ thing's always a good one to fall back on. We showed the key. Last week we had the pastor who married – Jennifer Lopez and Ben Affleck. We were hammering how much he got tipped. You think he got a big tip?
Yeah.
What do you think?
What do you think? What do you think he got?
Well, the it doesn't cost anything to get married.
Cost $49, $75. That's all you had to pay.
Right.
And that they rely on those tips. The pastors, right?
They need those.
From the tone of your voice, I'm going not much.
Not much. I think a few $100.
No, not much for that.
We pushed him hard, and I think that's all it was. He seemed a little bitter, didn't
he? Yeah,
you got to watch the episode. It's pretty good. Have you ever heard of Benita Alexander?
No.
She was involved in this unbelievable scandal called He Lied About Everything. So it's about this world-famous surgeon named one of the top 20 surgeons in the world. He actually came up with this medical device, a tracheotomy replacement made out of plastic, the same plastic he used to make a Pepsi bottle.
With stem cells.
With soaked in stem cell. So he had 8 patients. It was like the last leg. 7 of them ended up dying. Now they're all dead. And then he convinced – she was a Dateline producer for 17 years. And we had her on our show. It was fascinating. He promised her that the Pope was going to marry them. Andrea Bocelli was going to be there. Oprah, the Clintons. Elton John, John Legend, and it went on and on. So it's stuff like that. So it's light, but you know, Cato's the great door opener. You know, if he's able to talk about his scandal, everybody feels comfortable doing it. And it's fun. It's a great release.
A panty dropper, but all right, if you want to open a few doors,
that's
you
your
can
prerogative.
Do that as well.
He's married now.
Well, yeah, one of the great panty
his
droppers.
His wife doesn't wear panties?
Sometimes not, yeah. And you know what? She's from China, so I'm in on the whole China thing of what's, you know, from communism. And I'm really, like, finding out a lot about the country of China. And she's very much, believe it or not, sort of on the very conservative. So I kind of love it.
She's cool. She'd be a good guest.
All I ever hear is we are screwed. Lots of Putin talk, lots of Ukraine talk, but we should be having a little more China talk because we are.
How about all the land they're buying?
I say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're buying a lot of land in the U.S.
Oh yeah,
Bill Gates, about just all the goddamn fentanyl that's coming in through the Mexican border? That's Chinese. We're so nuts. I think about this on the drive-in. Like someone is like. Hey, why don't we call this the Wuhan flu or the China virus? Okay. We can't do that. People yelling. People taking people off of Twitter. It's like it came from China.
Yeah,
it's killed everyone. They're killing us. Why are we defending them so harshly?
100%. I said that to her. And she goes, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Wow.
And that, you know, I saw the Great Wall of China. We saw that. And I said it works because I was there, not one Mexican. So it was that Great
kept
Wall.
Them out.
Let me tell you, why don't we have that? It works.
Build that wall.
Jesus.
All right. Well, that's Trump's greatest moment is when that – you got to find that reporter. It's that greatest clip where she's like, why do you keep calling it the Chinese virus? You know, you're going to get people hurt. And he's like, because it comes from China. I realize that's why they hate that guy so much.
Can you imagine the disdain he's going to have for the media when he comes back?
Oh, my God.
It is good. But you know what? He'll do the interviews. He'll still have the press conferences. He'll just engage with them. He'll just crush them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we had one more really good episode where you'll learn about Tupac Shakur's life being saved by our guest before he was Tupac. It's chilling. It's unbelievable.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some great stuff.
Well, if we can find that, we'll play it. If not...
But we didn't sign off on that until Jon Stewart said it, remember?
Yes, Jon Stewart had to say that it came from a lab.
Right.
Because, like I said, everyone was like, you can't say that.
Why?
My theory is, what if this thing came out of Texas, and America was running a lab that made these viruses in Texas, and then somebody said, oh no, it came from an armadillo.
Yeah.
Would I be kicked off of Twitter if I said, no, it probably came from the government lab that made those things in Texas? No, you can't say that. Yeah, like, why really couldn't
offended?
You?
Why would you be offended anyway? Yeah, it's from Texas. Hey, West Nile.
I don't know.
It's the Spanish flu.
We're all fighting for China for some reason, but here's the greatest. I love this clip.
This the Chinese virus. There are reports of dozens of incidents of bias against Chinese Americans in this country. Your own aide, Secretary Azar, says he does not use this term. He says ethnicity does not cause the virus. Why do you keep using this? A lot of people
comes
say
from
it's
China.
Racist.
It's not racist at all. No, not at all. It comes from China.
That's why we call it the Chinese virus.
While she's asking that question, you see in his head.
He knows.
You know he cannot wait to say that line. He's just listening like, oh, I got this line. I'm gonna.
No, see, everyone else would have done the preamble. Like, I have many Asian friends, and I've always held the culture in high regards. As a matter of fact, I had pot stickers last night. Yeah. Now, that being said, he just goes, China.
Yeah.
Because it comes from
cut to the China.
And Biden can't even say Paxlovid. Biden.
All right, let me hit Geico real quick here. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. And now it's easy to bundle with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your automotive policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already got so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save and how easy it is to save when you go with Geico. All right. Let's give some plugs. 1 Degree of Scandalous is the name of the podcast. Of course, Cato, 2 to 4, Kayla Sachs.
Tune in.
Remember Ken Oprah.
We talked about him.
Yeah. Cato, Tom. Oh, and the fight. Let's see.
Ice Wars
International.
August
That's
6th.
Right. All right. All right. We'll take a quick break. Jackie Fabulous, stand-up comedian, is going to be in studio right after this.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.